This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith, courts one into right, down the line, it may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006!
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team! What a ride! The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans. Welcome to the Thursday special Friday edition, I guess, because of opening day edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast brought to you by our good friends over at InnovativeCompanies.com. Want to welcome everybody to the show. Let's take a moment to welcome in studio, in our patio studio, Benji Molina in the house.
Hey, good to be here, actually, in the studio. I always do it from Arizona.
Yes, you do.
But this is awesome. This is great to be here in the studio and see you guys and hang out with you guys, man.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to have you, and want to thank you for yesterday. I know Steve and I had a great time at the stadium and enjoyed getting to spend time with you early in the day and welcome you back into town. Happy to have you here, and again, I can't thank – hopefully, while you're in town, we'll get to run into our good friend Randy Green over at InnovativeCompanies.com. All he does for the show, I know you're appreciative as well.
We got to go say hi, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe check him out.
Yeah, you have to meet us at one of our favorite spots. Hopefully, he'll join us at Patios tomorrow. Want to remind everybody that we begin our stint at Patios to help promote those guys and make sure people know that they're still the place to be over at the stadium. You know, again, very proud to be associated with, you know, you think Patios when you think of the Cardinals pregame, postgame. Lots of good times had over there over the years for sure, and many more to come, especially for the new generation of Cardinal fans. You can see us over there on Saturday. It's going to be cold. We know that. Dress warm, okay? Dress
hey,
warm.
I just came from 92
and
to the 30s, man.
Well, and it is
wasn't bad yesterday, though.
And when we were at the stadium inside early yesterday, I you were requesting a stocking cap. I know you were, and I know why you were doing it. But we'll be at Patios tomorrow at 11 o'clock. It's going to be the first of three appearances that we're going to make there over the course of the next 5 weeks. Again, very happy to do it and very proud to be associated with Patios. Guys, don't forget, okay, you show up tomorrow, 11 o'clock, you get registered. Benji will have some items signed by Yachty that we'll be giving away. You'll be registered to win those. More importantly, your registration.
They don't want my signature?
Oh, no, they want you too, but, you know, come on. You know how it is. You know the deal. We've talked about this. You know, your brother's kind of a big deal around here. You aren't. You're quickly becoming everybody's favorite fan for sure. But you'll be registered to win these items. You can meet Benji, talk to him. If you've got your Molina book, I would suggest to bring it. Benji's always happy to sign the Molina book. If you haven't read it, I highly encourage you to run out and get one. It's an amazing book. It's inspirational. It tells the story of the Molina family, how they became baseball royalty. It's an amazing thing. But more importantly, guys, don't forget, you're going to be registered to win these items. We're going to be giving away a set of green seats at the end. Everybody that registers at all three dates that we do this are going to be put in one big drawing, and then we're going to give those away as well. So lots of great things going on. Special thanks to our friends at Patios. It starts tomorrow from 11 to 12, Patios right next to the stadium, pregame with us, and I guarantee you have a good time. The other two dates, you know them. They're coming up. They're the next Friday home games. We'll be there from 12 to 2. Same thing. You show up. You register. You can register, you know, each time you come. Again, we're very excited about it, looking forward to it. Happy to have you guys be a part of the show, and thanks again to Patios for taking care of our studios for us.
It will be amazing, man.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Steve-O will be joining us shortly. He actually had to do that work thing. You know, hey, guys, it's the day after the home opener. The theme here today is nobody does it better. And I believe that. No, we didn't win. I don't know how many games we're going to win and lose this year. I think we're somewhere between – I think we're between 80 and 90 wins. If things go well for this team, I think we could win 90. If things don't go well, I think we win low 80s. I'm still encouraged by some things. If you're tuning in here today for this to
be – I don't want to think of that, Jim.
Well, here's the deal. If you're tuning in here today for it to be a bitch fest, you tuned into the wrong show. We are – what are we, seven games in?
Yeah.
I'm not here to make any judgments. I'm not here to say this guy stinks, this guy's no good, what are we doing with this guy? I need a month before I can make some make a couple of assessments. I'm not going to bag on the manager or the hitting coach or the third base coach or the first base coach or the owner or the I'm not doing any of that. I need a month. Am I happy about some things I've seen in the last few days? No. But that's okay. Every fan how you want to fan. I'm good with that. It's just too early to start saying this is this. I do understand all the games count, okay? We're not 0-7. Things are okay. Here's the deal. What I'm here to talk about today, and we are going to talk about the game, but I just want to remind everybody, it's funny, there were 40-something thousand people there yesterday in the stadium. There was probably, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand people downtown. But it's funny, before it's all over with, there'll be 200,000 people that were in the stadium and saw everything. You know, that's just how it goes. But let me tell you something. Every year, same thing. You get the feeling of appreciation when you're at the home opener for what you have and what you've experienced as being a Cardinal fan. Now, for some of the younger Cardinal fans, you learn it through history, whether it be maybe your parents or friends or just following the organization or something like that. But if you're in my age, that time frame for my age, you've lived through some pretty amazing things that have happened with Cardinal baseball, and I love it being a fan. And it really starts with the way they do it on opening day. So I want to talk a little bit about that today, of course. I'm curious to get Benji's thoughts, some things that I saw yesterday that I want to ask him about. Before we do go into that, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the game. Again, I'm not here to break it down. We're seven games in, folks.
There was not much to break down.
Yeah, there wasn't much to break down other than Robbie Ray's deceptive delivery.
Yeah.
A 93-mile-an-hour left-handed fastball that gets on you in a hurry. He's got that slow delivery, which kind of lulls you, and then all of a sudden it's on you. You could see some late swings. Is that a slider or a curveball? I don't know
It's in-betweener.
It's slider, nasty. Curveball.
Oh, yeah.
You see some guys that usually take some pretty good hacks swinging at balls that aren't even close. It tells you that it's pretty deceptive.
I don't think anybody who knows baseball and follows MLB, man, they know the D-backs are for real. They're no joke. I mean, they have three or four good pitchers. Corbin.
Yeah, Godley's a good pitcher.
Yes, yeah. And they got Robbie Ray.
We saw it. Yeah.
And then we're facing Greinke.
Yeah.
We're facing him next. So yeah. They're for real. You know, that's how you build your team, I think. You know, if you give me a chance to be a GM somewhere, I will start with my pitching and catching.
Yeah.
And then after that, I'll start putting my pieces on.
If you looked up at the scoreboard last night, and, you know, if you're familiar at all with the Diamondbacks, if you're familiar at all with the better players in baseball, and you see Paul Goldschmidt had one hit, and you're thinking, man, what a time to catch him. Right?
Yeah, and do you think they worry?
Well, let me tell you something. Did you see Paul? Was it his third at bat? I mean, he literally
crushed that ball. If you're talking about the line drive to center.
I'm talking about the base hit. He literally just took a half swing and poked the ball through the four hole.
Mm-hmm.
That's a guy going, I got to get a knock here somehow, some way. They're giving me this. I'm going to take it.
There's a lot of guys that can do that.
I mean, I just couldn't believe he did.
There's not many guys that could do that, I should say.
So, you know, again, you'd like to try to catch them while they're not exactly the offensive force that we know that they can be. That being said, you know, hey, we lost. We got outpitched. You know, Waino wasn't good. Sorry. I love Waino. I'm happy.
He wasn't horrible either.
Yeah.
So he's okay.
Okay.
In a good way. I mean, if you want to see it,
he only gave up three runs, but we're running into a problem here. Now, we've had the off days, so that has helped a little, but we can't be – listen, people already have a problem with the bullpen, right? Like, Mike can't do anything right, whatever. We already have a problem. You cannot go 4 and 5 innings every night all the time. Now, thank goodness for Martinez the other night. That was a great start.
So they could use all these guys yesterday.
Yeah, and that's fine. But let me tell you something. Once the season gets going after the opening day here and you start with the traditional probably one day off a week.
No, you can have that.
We're going to be in big trouble here.
You can have that. I mean, I'm sorry. I said he was okay just thinking he was hurt. You know, hamstring, we don't know how that affected, you know, everything. But he looked okay, 90, 91 when he had it.
Yep.
We just hope that he goes over five and he goes over to the sixth inning, you know?
So let me ask you. You were directly behind home plate where you were calling the game. We were, and thank you, by the way, we were on the third behind the third base dugout. Some of the pitches look close. Was he getting squeezed? He looked on the mound. I think the
umpire had a bad day.
Did he?
Yes.
Both sides were kind of looking at him.
Both sides, but the only thing is that Robbie Ray had more swings and miss, but Waino couldn't have swings and miss because he wasn't getting calls. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the umpire was really, really small yesterday.
Yeah, and you know, and that's the thing. I kind of looked at some stuff and thought, okay, but, you know, the thing was I will say this. I look at it and I try to figure out, okay, is Waino frustrated because he's not throwing well or is he getting squeezed? So that's why I wanted to ask you because you were
He was being really squeezed. I know something is squeezed.
Yeah.
But he was really being squeezed. And you could see Yadi's reaction on some pitches that, no. Hey, man,
we
come
could
on,
use
you know,
pitch.
We
okay.
could use we could use this.
Well, that being said, you know, for any fans out there that are upset that Flaherty went down and Waino's in a starting rotation, here's what I'm going to say to you. What did you expect?
Everybody knew that.
They're not – Waino's going to get, in my estimation, unless he completely collapses, he's going to get a minimum, my guess is 6 starts. You think that's about right, Benji?
Probably 5.
Five starts?
Probably, yeah, about probably 6 5. Weeks.
Yes.
I figured 6
Oh, yeah,
weeks.
Okay, well, yeah. Because he missed. I'm going through my mind of the time frame of what they did with Reyes, obviously the emergence of Flaherty. So anyway, he's going to get that time, and you're going to have to live with it as a fan if he's not – I mean, listen, who doesn't know what he is? He's not magically going to – it's not magically going to be 3 or 4 years ago. It's not. He is what he is. This is what – listen, we're not the only organization who deals with this. An aging guy who you signed to a long-term deal, gave you everything he had, helped you win – a lot of games over the years, and he's gonna play.
Jim, how about this? Where is Budweiser in the aisle? Middle shelf, right?
Yeah.
When you stock?
First, the leads.
Is Budweiser what it used to be 20 years ago?
No.
Where's Heineken? Is Heineken or wherever one of these off brands that everybody likes to drink? They might eventually get there. But Budweiser's still the king.
That's right.
Okay? Wainwright, he's still the king. I don't care. It's a business thing, guys. It's not that hard to figure out. It is a business. Baseball is not a game at the major league level.
See, and that's the problem.
It's a business.
That's right. The fans think it's this simple. Because here's the deal, and I get it. Because you think it should be this simple. The best players play. That's not the case, guys.
No.
The sooner you understand that the best players don't always play for a variety of reasons— okay, and again, they may not line up with your reasons. Right. See, there's the issue. Okay, there's the issue. I'm even of that ilk. I sit here and go, okay, all right. Here's how I feel about this. If I'm paying Waino, what is it, $19 million? Is that what he makes?
19.
If Waino makes $19 million, okay, and the guy in the bullpen makes $550,000 combined. They make $19,550,000. Okay? Who gives a shit what role they're in? They're both on the roster. They're both going to perform. I want the better player in the bigger role. The problem is it's not that Jack Flaherty's not in the bullpen. He's going to be down at Memphis doing what he does, which is starting games. And he's down there and he's starting games for one reason and one reason only. He is the next guy up. He has to be ready to do that. If you go to the bullpen, you're not ready to do that. Chances are they're going to need Jack Flaherty in a large role before this season is over.
That's why he didn't stay either.
That's right. It may be for It may be for Waino. It could be for Waka. It could be any one of them. Could get hurt. Could collapse. It doesn't matter what it is. It's the whole reason. You know, and here's another thing, too. Let me say this. I go to the other end of the spectrum. People are like, okay, we lost the game because the organization stood fast on Holland. If they just would have signed him a week ago, well, guess what? A week ago, he wasn't willing to accept 1 year. This isn't about money. It's about term. They gave him a bunch of money.
It's a business.
That's right. So guess what, folks? Two weeks ago, he still wanted multiple years. The Cardinals didn't want to give him multiple years. I think we all know why the Cardinals really aren't that interested in giving any pitchers multiple years right now.
You mean 101.6?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
And guess what? He's not the only one.
Oh, no.
This Helsley's not bad.
Don't try to get this trade going in fantasy baseball
right
now.
But Flaherty, Gomber, Dakota Hudson, they are aligned with
him. BMO,
folks.
I had to listen to him for 3 innings try to tell me why I should take Helsley and give him David Price right now.
It wasn't just Helsley.
I know.
I heard somebody yesterday came to me and said, would you trade Carlos Martinez for Archer right now? They have the same contract. And he had me thinking, knowing what I know, but it's crazy to think about it, man. Who does better for your team?
Right.
That's the thing we got to think about. In this case, they're being nice to Wainwright. They're sacrificing maybe something because Jack Flaherty's ready, but they might be doing it for Wainwright, right? I mean, he gave us so much, right?
Right.
He's for so many years. And they're just trying to do it the right thing for him as a team. And maybe this might be his last year. We don't know, you know? So they're just trying to be nice to him and being respectful for him.
And they're setting up for next year.
But I get both sides, too. I don't want to be in one side. I don't want to be. Yeah,
I get it. Tough. That's why I don't. Listen, that's why I'm not like thinking, oh, you guys are stupid or ignorant for not wanting Jack Flaherty to stay. I get that.
No, we all want it.
Who doesn't? But there's a little bit of reality involved.
If you want that type of business, go become a fan of the NFL.
That's right, because the way their contracts are structured, that's how they get to operate.
Absolutely.
They get to operate that way.
And you get a salary cap, and you get, you know, stuff accelerated when you cut guys, when you give contracts, okay. And nothing's guaranteed. But in baseball, when you got guaranteed contracts and you got options, unfortunately, it becomes a business, and you have to juggle it.
Okay, so here's the thing, and I'm glad you brought that up. Because, again, we said what more? Okay, so to make sure that we don't offend our people that like the fact that we talk about the game, what more is there to talk about yesterday? Okay, Waino wasn't great. There wasn't a whole bunch of offense around the board. The best swings of the night, Yachty took and didn't even get a hit out of any of the better swings he took. Mm-hmm. What are you going to talk about? I mean, there's not a lot to talk about.
Well, about plays not made. Did you talk about the Martinez play not made?
We did talk about that.
Not that it hurt.
That didn't. Yeah, I mean, you know, we hope plays aren't made. I am so confused how big leaguers can't throw the ball properly. Okay. It's got to be a psychological thing.
You just got done cutting youth baseball talk, didn't you? Because you were on this last night, too.
Did you not watch what I showed you? And were you not? Were you not like? How does a guy at this level not throw the baseball correct?
They look definitely wonky.
It freaks me out.
Yes.
Freaks me out. So anyway,
I'm going to tell you part of the reason. And it's not an excuse, of course. I don't see why he couldn't just throw it there.
He throws like this. He doesn't throw like this.
But most of the throws
Does Carpenter. Neither does Carpenter.
But most of the throws are there, right? So they think that by doing that. They could just get the ball there, right? The fact of the call, people don't think that. You have your hand right in there, getting it sweaty with the warmer, getting it sweaty, then you try to get it dry. Then the ball hit the grass. Then the ball hit the dirt. You know it. You play infield. Yeah. The ball hit the grass, hit that when it's a little moist and wet, and you think you have the grip, and once you go for it and that ball starts slipping, what do? It's not that you can throw great. If that ball is nice, and I bet you anything, 95% they throw it right. It's not an excuse. I get it. Because a lot of Vizquel and a lot of these guys threw it wet.
But neither one of them fire the ball.
Well, Jim, here's what I would say.
Why don't you think they fire?
But even when it's dry. Because they push it. But why?
Because
they're nervous.
Exactly.
Because they're going to throw it away.
Exactly. Because they think they're going to slip away. So they want to put it there instead of letting it go and see what happened. You know,
or it could be, Jim, I do a lot of that now just because I've compensated for a shoulder injury and then my elbow kills me. I literally need Tommy John, but I'm not going to go get it. But you compensate and you start throwing different. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there wasn't something back in their past, whether it was a shoulder that they've compensated for over the years and they've just gotten used to throwing it a certain way and they don't cut it loose. But we talked about it last night as far as cutting things loose. And BMO, you might be able to tell a story. Jim and I sat there for 2 years, and every time, the most exciting part of the game was watching Furcal throw the ball in warm-ups innings across effortlessly.
He would stand in the grass in the deep six.
97.
And he looked like Yachty throwing it to second.
It's unbelievable.
Watching Yachty, and any catcher,
and
really.
What happened yesterday with Munoz? Did you see that throw?
Oh, yeah, when he had to double clutch it, cut it loose?
You see, I was talking to him before the game, and here's another thing that you got to think about. DeJong is in a process of shortstop, and I heard it yesterday again. He's not the greatest. He might make the plays. He's great, but he's in the process. Now, Munoz had an error in Milwaukee, which it was still in his head. Because when I talked to him in the clubhouse, that was one of the things that came out. You know, it's like, man, I don't know. I need to catch that ball and I need to.
Because he's a good player.
He's a great player. Right now, he's so nervous, and you can.
He looks nervous.
Oh my gosh, he's so nervous. That's not the guy that was in spring training.
No. Free and easy, having fun. Now he looks like he has to prove he belongs because they sent another guy down.
Plus, he was playing every day. In the spring training.
It's hard to come off the bench.
It's hard to sit.
Hey, I did.
Ask Randall Gritchick.
When I went to interview him in the clubhouse, Jim, for our show. Oh, no, I didn't get to interview him in the clubhouse.
You didn't get
that access.
Man, what the heck?
Man.
Hey, so.
I thought I was a co-host in here.
So, again, but it's funny.
Hey, right. But you did get the Philly cheesesteak, man.
Oh, I saw
the picture.
See, I was working down below with Benji while you were eating Philly cheesesteak.
I saw the picture.
Okay.
Swear to God, I went to go to my seat with it, and I made it like around, you know where it is. It's in left field corner.
Yep.
And we were going to the seat, and I made it. There was like a little like trash can lid that was open. Like nobody is drinking on it, or I stopped. I ate right there on a trash can lid. I was
the things you do at opening day.
I do. I wasn't waiting until I got to the seat. I literally had to walk 50 more feet.
So what I'm excited to talk about today is to feed off what you said about Wainwright and the whole thing. Here's what I want to let people know: if you don't want that and you want football, what does football not have anymore? There's no loyalty.
Loyalty.
There's none. There's zero. Very few players now are attached to the franchise. You don't have very many Tom Bradys.
And they're
no. Okay, not even Tom Brady. They try to get rid. They wanted to get rid of Tom Brady.
Okay,
they wanted Garoppolo, which is the big stink up there.
So here's the thing. Here's what I want to let people know. And this is where I was going earlier. And this is what I want to talk about today. Because again, what are you gonna do right now? And that's this. If you want that, then guess what you don't want? You don't want what you lived through for the first 45 minutes of yesterday. And that is standing up, watching guys, you know, and sadly, aging gentlemen in red jackets that gave you everything they had and were great at a time and gave you a life of memories and emotion and feeling. And I know it sounds a little bit corny, but just flat-out entertainment. And the reality of it is, as I watched it unfold yesterday, that's all I could think about was, for a moment, my mind went to Adam Wainwright, and I thought, probably his last opening day start. It is a tip of the cap from Cardinals ownership, from Cardinals management, to a guy that, quite frankly, every time you hear or C, anything that has to do with Cardinal history, you're going to see Adam Wainwright striking out. Was it Brandon Inge? You're going to see him striking him out. Okay? You are – I have goosebumps right now. You cannot watch anything that involves Cardinal history and not see the curveball to Carlos Beltran. Okay? And we're talking about two moments. We're not even talking about the guy that gave everything he had, every start. You're not even talking about the impact. And I'll let Benji speak to this because he'll know. Again, you guys out there can speculate all you want. And this is where I am going to play the role on you. I'm going to let the guy that's been in the clubhouse tell you. The influence the guy has in the clubhouse on 24 other men, okay, to just say piss off. Because let me tell you something. If you want to have a franchise where supposedly we have a problem getting people to come here, if you really want to make sure nobody comes here, take that guy and tell him to piss off.
Right.
You won't see him again.
Okay.
Not with the red jacket, with the blue jacket, with the green jacket. We will never see him again. What happened to Jim Edmonds in Anaheim? He thought he was the man in Anaheim. I was there. He thought he's fighting for a contract, nothing. Traded for Adam Kennedy and Ken Buttonfield, I think. And all of a sudden, what did he become here? You think he wants something
Legend.
To do in Anaheim?
Yeah.
He wants nothing to do. He don't want to go back to Anaheim. So if you do that to Wainwright right now, and you let him go like Jimbo said, just like that, and let him go and you know, whatever, go. You know, we don't need you or whatever. You will not see him here again. And you want that.
Yeah.
You want that. It's like Yadi with his 3-year deal, right? Obviously, Yadi's a little different because it's a free agent, right? Wainwright had one more year in the contract. So, but if you want Yadi to be here, I would assume, like, if you want Yadi happy and to come over here with their red jacket and be proud of being in the Hall of Fame here, you need it to sign that. But not only that, you need it for a lot of more reasons than that. But I'm saying in the same situation, like if you let him go and he become a Anaheim Angel, whatever, I bet you anything, he'll think twice of coming over here. And you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like what happened to Pujols. Pujols will have a hard time coming back to this stadium. Not that he shouldn't. He should. He should be in the Hall of Fame here too. Mm-hmm. But he will have a hard time. He will. So I get what they're doing. I think I see both sides, you know, the business side of it, you know, and plus we need a guy that goes more than five.
Well, so, you know, here's the deal. From a fan's perspective, walking through it yesterday, I love how they incorporate all the different types of players into it. It's almost like if you played baseball for the Cardinals here, Benji, you coached here 1 year. You obviously have the connection through your brother, but you've told me before, they treat you and you feel like a guy that played here for 10 years. You know, fans have embraced you, and mm-hmm. I think they appreciate your honesty and your passion. I think fans, quite frankly, understand that Yadi's your brother, so of course you're a fan of your brother and what he does, but it's almost like you've been a Cardinal fan your whole life, and we know that you played for different organizations. And
it's almost my whole life. It's 2000 since I started. Well, way before that, our uniforms, the Cardinals, when Vince Coleman, Willie McGee. I mean, that was 13, maybe 12, when I was 12. So it goes way back.
That's kind of funny to think about. But the truth of the matter is, if you look at it, I got to know. So I'm watching this yesterday. And every year it's the same thing. Number one, first and foremost, nobody does it better. When the Clydesdales come out, and I know some fans were upset. I'll never understand it. Well, what were the Clydesdales doing in Houston? Well, okay, come on, whatever. But number one, it's every year here, folks.
Yeah.
And it's real, and I don't know. And obviously, I mean, I worked there for so many years. They mean something to me, even today, that even though I don't work there anymore. But
why can't you just forget about Houston and be happy for St. Louis?
Yeah, there's something about when the Clydesdales hit the field. And to the fact that, Steve, you know, I've said there's been a couple years where the weather didn't cooperate and they couldn't let them on the field. Oh, heartbreaking to me.
Yeah, let's not even go to the game.
Yeah, I'm like, geez. And you know how upset I get if I'm not in time to see the Clydesdales in the parade. So First off, first and foremost, once the Clydesdales hit the field, man, it's time to go.
I mean, believe you told me in the bottom of the second inning, I've seen everything I needed to see.
Yeah, well, I hate to
because
say that.
Because we checked off the list. I mean, opening day was about that.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Wainwright throw 92. I think he actually threw 93, 94. Hey, that tells me he's probably healthy enough to try to dig down deep and give us everything he's got. Now, is that not good enough? I don't know. We're going to find out.
I think if the umpire would have been a little bit more friendly for him, he would have gone probably five. Probably five or six.
If we get five innings out of every start from him and we get six, seven innings from the rest of the guys, we'll be okay. Okay? So, but let me tell you something. Watching the guys come out in the cars, that's where I'm going with this whole thing about the loyalty, the attachment. All the different things these guys did. So, you know, they come out and it's, for starter, you know, they come right out with Chris Carpenter, who I know everybody's excited about. I mean, here's a guy that he's never going to get in the Hall of Fame because of injuries and things like that. But I promise you, to Cardinal fans, he's a Hall of Famer. Okay? They loved who he was. They loved what he represented. They loved the – Cardinal fans love somebody that gives you – just like the Blues in this town, they love players that give you everything they got.
I bet this is his Hall of Fame, right? I mean, this is
– yes, this is his Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And you can tell how appreciative he is. He gave you – the listen – in 2011, okay, make no mistake about this, Cardinal fans, Chris Carpenter gave you his right arm. That was it. Yeah. He gave you everything he had. A guy like that should never pitch on 3 days rest, ever.
And hurt.
Never. And he did, because a guy like that went in and said, I want the ball. Give me, and they wanted him to have the ball. A manager knows, I got to give it to my guy. My guys will feel like our guys got the ball. Even when he went out and gave up, you and I were sitting there, Steve. He went out and gave up two runs, and you look at one another, and you think, how's this going to go? They come out and they tie it up, and he was like, that's it. You're getting nothing more, and they didn't.
And out of 27 outs, he already had nine just with his pressing on the mound.
You know, so it was great to see that. So you get him. You have the younger guys. You have the, you know, you have Jim Edmonds there, which, you know, everybody loves Edmonds. You know, Mark McGuire would normally be there, but he's coaching. But then you get Tony, you got Whitey Herzog, you get all these guys, Bruce Sutter. You know, again, same thing as Wainwright, guys. You're never going to see Cardinal highlights without seeing him strike out
Inge.
No.
Or Beltran.
Or
who are you talking about?
Bruce Sutter.
Gorman Thomas.
You know, you're never going to see that. Lou Brock, the chance of Lou, and everybody knows what Lou's going through health-wise.
Did you get goosebumps when he took his stick out?
Oh, unbelievable.
Gosh,
that
yes.
was a guy saying, I'm here. I'm not gone yet. Right. That's what it was.
I'm here.
And you watch the videos and you see Stan Musial, and what did there was when you and I used to go, we felt like at those big games, the Phantom Swing. I mean, I'd cry. I mean, I'm about to cry right now. Red Shandy's being there. And obviously he wasn't there yesterday. But Lou Brock, Bob Gibson, the whole Bob Gibson, Tim McCarver thing I thought was phenomenal. Tim McCarver gets a bad rap. I don't understand it. I never will. Whatever.
Just because he's doing TV.
Yeah.
I actually like him.
I love him.
I know he says some goofy stuff sometimes, but I like him when he does it.
Who doesn't?
I spend my life in podcasting saying goofy shit all the time.
So, you know, here's the thing. You get all this stuff, right? You see the trophies. You see all this kind of stuff. So I ask you, fans, what do you want? Do you want football? Do you want 3 years of Adam Wainwright giving you everything he's got, and then because all of a sudden he's not what he was, you just get rid of him? Do you want to get rid of an aging Lou Brock? Do you want to get rid of an aging, all these guys? Do you want to get rid of them?
Plus, they all went through it.
You know,
they all went through it.
And that's what I was going to ask
you. How about Willie Mays? Willie Mays ended up in New York, couldn't catch a ball.
Yep.
Couldn't hit.
So
I mean, they all go through that stage.
So you know what hit me yesterday? And they do it every year, and they do a great job of it. But I want to ask you as a player, because it happened last year too, and I watched it. The Cardinals always make these great videos that promote the history. And, folks, we're blessed with an amazing history that some organizations don't have. I don't know that they'll ever have them. They don't – see, this can only go on in a few cities, quite frankly. Okay. Now,
Miami.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But even that, but see, that's what I'm saying. They've got wins, but what do they have? They don't have any loyalty.
Zero. Nada.
Okay. So my point is, so did you watch intently yesterday, the Hall of Famers? and Yachty was on the field watching the video. And all I could look at were these aging Hall of Famers and wondering what's going through their mind. Watching Lou Brock sprint out of the dugout. What is Lou Brock thinking at this moment? You know, he picked his cane up to show everybody, I'm still here. I'm still not, he's got one foot in the grave. Not yet. You know, I wonder if these guys, Willie McGee, I mean, they sit there and look at that and think, you know, that was me. I was young once. I did this. And it's heartbreaking to some degree. But then you watch Yachty and them guys and how intently they watch that. And if you watched Yachty yesterday, the second it was over, there was he jumped up and he was flipping the ball around his back and he started playing catch. And it's just.
That's what it's all about.
You know, so you were there yesterday. You saw the video. What goes through your mind? Because, look, you played at the highest level. You won a World Series. Gold
Gloves. I got goosebumps even in through my mind.
You know.
I was crazy. I always get pumped up. I told you guys. Every time they show that video, come on, man. Even if you're not a fan of the Cardinals, and I bet you watch it, come on. You gotta get fired up, man. It gets you goosebumps.
So let me ask you this then. For you, what does it mean to you when you see these guys in red coats? What, like, I know there's I know respect's easy to say, but what goes through your mind when you see these greats and these and you think about the careers? And I mean, what goes through your mind?
My mind goes right to a sacrifice for a city, man. Sacrifice for a people. Sacrifice for a community. You know how many years they spend here? I mean, probably helping communities and helping all over, and they're still here. They still go out and try to do charity events and all that stuff. That's what goes through my mind. Not only that they were great players. I wish I was half a player of what those guys were, man. Half. And I mean everyone. Even the secret weapon. Kendall played in a good era, man. That was a great team. And it was a fun team for years. So I wish I had half a talent those guys had, man. I would have had so much fun. But just watching that, it's just truly amazing. It's just really history, you know?
As much as you enjoy being here, what's it mean to you when you go back to Anaheim and San Francisco where you had some tremendous success?
I mean, it's good. It's good. I can say no. I mean, their opening day, it's good.
Does it feel like it does here?
No, it doesn't feel like here at all. It doesn't feel, but it's still good. They do a good job on opening days everywhere, but I always said it, there's nothing like an opening day here. There's nothing like that, and for some reason, just to see all those guys come out, and there's so many. Like you said, some guys weren't even here yesterday, and there's so many of them that they were good, and I wish every time that they name those guys on the car, they have a highlight to them. I wish somebody would think about that. You know what I mean?
That would take like an hour, though.
No. But a short clip.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like a 10-second or 20-second clip. Everyone. So everybody remembers that.
That would be cool.
And for the young guys that are coming to the park, you know, younger, you know, they didn't get a chance to see him. You know, so, I mean, that would be great.
You know, it just means a lot to me. And as the older I get, it seems to mean more all the time. You don't take winning for granted. I think I don't mean this to be ignorant or mean or like condescending, looking down people, but I think we do take it for granted around here. I think there's a faction of the fan base that takes it for granted. Do I want to be in the playoffs every year? You're damn right I do. But freaking out about 2 years not being in the playoffs. Yes, the whole goal is getting the playoffs. I get it. I understand it. I'm not dismissing not being in the playoffs for 2 years. But it's 2 years. I want people to think about the last 15 years and go look at a lot of other organizations. Now, you can pull that, I don't care about those other organizations. I only care about the Cardinals. And I get that. But it's not that easy. It's not that easy.
Right. You guys, Inc. Cardinals, you got to be happy.
Yeah. Would you have gone through what Houston went through for the last 4 years to have last year?
I don't know that this town can handle that.
Could you do that?
I don't think
so. Is it worth having that much young talent and all of a sudden you're on a precipice of winning 2, 3, 4 world championships? Is it worth the losing of 100 games three years in a row, right?
Yeah.
I mean, could you stand that? If you're about that, then all of a sudden you got to look at the farm system, say, hey, we got something happening here. Let's get some of the old dogs out. Next year we'll be ready to go with five solid young starters, right? And a good bullpen.
But
and
look at
all
Yankees,
the young players.
Steve-O, yeah? The Yankees go all out every year. They go get veterans they used to. I don't know about now. Now they go young.
But when was their most success that they had was that group that came up together. Pettit, Jeter, Mariano, Jorge Posada, those guys, Bernie Williams, all those guys came up together. That's where they had their dynasty.
And these guys here in the Cardinals organization, they're trying to do that.
Right. And they won a PCL championship. So you got to look at how's your minor leagues. If you're willing to put in, if you want championships and you want what Houston has, then you got to give what Houston gave to get there.
Well, again,
I don't believe in that, by the way.
You have to look at the thing.
I want to go every year.
Don't we have to look at it as a whole? I mean, I hope people do. I really do. And again, I think most do. I really do. I think a lot of the complaining is the loud minority. It's the same people all the time bagging on the same guy, the same guys, the same things, which is okay. I say it all the time. I know I probably come across as condescending sometimes or telling people how to be. I'm really not. You do you. That's my thing, right? I say you do you. You are who you are, playa. Okay. Our good friend, you know, I'm in an argument with him right now. He's a complainer.
Oh,
that's what he is. He's
Everything.
A complainer. He's a complainer. I love the guy, but he's a complainer.
Yep.
Okay. If he's not complaining, he's not happy.
If it was sunny and 70, he would find a way to bitch.
And, you know,
you got to get away from those guys instead of going forward with those guys.
Yeah.
So
unless he's family or something, then you sacrifice. But
I see
he's close to family.
I see. I love the guy. I mean, put it this way.
Then you sacrifice.
I know he probably thinks I hate. I don't hate him. I mean, I trusted him with my kid, for Christ's sake. So that's all you need to know about what you think about somebody as a person. But when it comes to this stuff, he's a complainer. And that irritates me, and I don't want to talk about it. So. That being said, the theme of the show today was nobody does it better. I don't believe anybody does it better. I would like to go to I will say this. I went to Yankee Stadium. It was a pilgrimage type thing. It was awesome to go see the monuments.
And they have history.
Yes. And I was upset. Like I was so mad. I didn't know. And as much as I love the Yankees and love the history and everything, I didn't know that they didn't move the bat. I thought they kept the bat.
Okay, out front.
Yeah, it's gone. I guess Johnny Damon, somebody told me, bought it. It broke my heart. You know, I got to see everything else, but it broke my heart. Because, you know, I'm Babe Ruth, my guy. You know, I just think, you know, it's him, Pujols.
You can go see the bat down in Louisville.
You know,
there's a bat down there, too.
So the thing is, so for me, you know, I love the history portion of the game. It at least on opening day, for me, and again, to each their own, on opening day, the history is way more important for one day, anyway, than the product on the field for me for one day. So thank you, Benji, for making me go, because I wasn't going to go.
You got to cheer for your cards, man. Come on. You can't let business decisions get in the way of you being a fan. You can't do that. I mean, that's... Opening day, and you were because I mean, I'm not saying you, anybody that get upset because of decisions they made, or all of a sudden they don't want to make it. I mean, come on, you just got to separate that and say, you know what, this is opening day.
Well,
let's go.
So, I'm as excited about the season. We're one game under 500. Blew a lead in a bullpen game. Okay.
Hey, who's calling that pitch? Is that Matheny calling that pitch on Leon the other night, back-to-back jacks?
No. No.
I don't think so. That's a pitcher that throws that ball right down the middle. Think about it. He made Yelich look bad in a couple of them. So,
but Yachty's looking over to Matheny. Matheny's flashing signs.
Those are defensive signs. Yachty's covered that already.
I don't think he's calling any pitches. No, he doesn't call any pitches.
No.
Okay.
But
Yachty's covered that. But Yachty's publicly said, no, I call the pitches.
But Dominic.
The pitcher has to execute.
Yes.
No, no, they floated up there in the middle.
There's no wrong pitch. There's a wrongly executed pitch.
Yes.
He got shaken by the first one and then stirred by the second
one. Well, and here's the thing. And here's the thing, and I guarantee you, I mean, Ben, the bottom line is this. The pitch was the right call. He didn't execute it. And why would you not call a pitch that he has just been executing? See, that's the thing. See, that's what nobody gets when it comes to this kind of stuff. The whole Roger Clemens thing that came out, and if you listen to Chris Carpenter talk, and I've heard him speak and stuff, the one thing they learned from guys like Roger Clemens was, yeah, he's great, man. Look at him throw. Look at him do this. And when he talks, what's he talk about? I just tried to execute every pitch. And all these guys come from that school that are pitchers, right? They realize, and people freak out about the Carlos Martinez thing and the maturity. Guys, stop it. This is not about what color his hair is. This is not about how he acts off the field. The people that really know what the hell they're talking about, when they're talking about maturity, that's what they're talking about, the ability to execute each pitch. When it comes to Michael Wacha, it's the same thing. Just because he might be more mature acting doesn't mean that he doesn't need to execute his pitches. That's what they're talking about.
Yep.
Okay? The bottom line is this. Michael Wacha might execute his pitches. He's not as good as Carlos Martinez. That's what this is about. So it is not a double standard. I don't care what anybody says. Carlos Martinez has the stuff to be a Cy Young Award winner if he can do what? Execute every pitch and not be upset, be taken. I was impressed with him the other day. What I took away from the game the other day with Carlos Martinez was he had a little, and again, totally different pitcher than Adam Wainwright, little bit like Carpenter, only way better physically, okay? He didn't have it at the beginning of the game the other day against Minnesota. Did you notice that? He did not have it against Milwaukee at the beginning of the game. Where are we going?
He was scaring everybody.
And he found a way. He said, you know what? This isn't working for me today. I'm going to find a way. And when Carpenter was at his best, when Wainwright's been great, when Roger Clemens has been great, you caught Clemens, right?
No,
Clemens wasn't there when you were there. Roy Halladay. Okay. When Roy Halladay was there, same thing. They all come from that school. They're all the same way. If you listen to Carpenter, they're all from that mentality. Roy Halladay's the one thing I learned from Roger Clemens. Every pitch is – you got to execute every pitch. That pitch is over. Execute the next pitch. What do they all tell you? I went with what worked today. You know, I didn't have this, so I had to find a way. That's what they're talking about with Carlos Martinez.
But that's what they mean by maturity.
That's right.
You know, like Carlos – being able to say, okay, I gave up a hit, and not being pissed for three pitches. That's what they mean by maturity, you know, when they say that. They don't mean that he's more mature or not off the field. That's another topic. But when they talk about maturity in baseball, it's being able to, okay, give up a homer and say, listen, I got to make my pitches and throw seven innings with one run.
Well, I can tell you, looking at going forward, I think we have a chance. I'm all for, what we've done. I like the Greg Holland signing. I think the bullpen, I'm really curious who's out. This is going to be interesting to see who's out.
If you have a pitching throwing five innings, right?
Right.
And you have Holland, and you already have Lyons and Dominic for the eighth, kind of. Gregerson's coming, and I heard that he's going to be there. He's going to be their guy. So if you think about Dominic, Lyons, and Gregerson, that game should be easier for Matheny, right?
Right.
Because that game is if you – this is counting on five innings on the starting, which we hope it's more. But five innings, and then you have three innings from the back end, kind of, or at least two. I mean, come on. You only got one or two innings to manage, kind of,
right?
You know?
Well, we know Mayers is the first one down, right? He's got options. He's the first one down. Tui's out of options.
Tui's out of options, and Tui's 5 miles an hour slower than he was last year. Yep. Tui's in trouble.
Yep.
So,
There's.
Are you willing to lose?
No,
that guy.
I don't think. I don't think they lose Tui. I think Mayers is gone, but that's only one.
That's one. But then Gregerson comes.
That's right. So who's the second guy out?
And then Reyes comes.
But that's later.
That's later.
60, though.
He's on the 60.
So that's 2 months away.
All we know is for fact this. In the next 30 to 60 days, we're going to have three different pitchers pitching in the bullpen. We know that for sure. Mm-hmm. So who's the three that are out?
And Cecil's coming.
Would it break?
And that's a deep breath and a sigh.
Hicks?
He's got options, but that's the tough one.
How do you send that kid down?
I don't know if you can sit 101.6.
I don't know. And then he's getting more experience. Yadi's behind the plate, obviously helping him too.
That's a difference maker. I'm not sure 101.6 doesn't play at the major league level.
The question now here is, do you want to lose Tui? Because that's the main thing. He's going to go through waivers, and they're going to be picking him up in a heartbeat.
What is the get back on something like that? Waivers? Anything?
Nothing. They pick up his
contract and done.
He's a major league minimum guy.
Yeah.
That somebody's going to pick up.
But it's not for sure, because remember, when you get picked up of these waivers, you got to go to big leagues.
Right.
It's not like minor league waivers.
Yeah, but there's going to be a team that's not very
good.
I know.
It's
going to take
He's going to go.
He'll be out.
Like Carlos Perez. I don't know if you guys heard this story in Anaheim. They play him and play him and play him, trying to keep him there just in case the other two guys get hurt. Last day of the spring, he's out of options. What do? You got three catchers there that you're counting on. You got two guys in the minor leagues that are coming. You got four catchers. What do? Carlos, thanks. But here we go. He went through waiver. Somebody picked him up right away. And now he's playing for somebody else. And this could happen in the next couple of days or a week here.
Business side of it.
We might lose a guy or Hicks goes down.
Well, here's the other thing that people aren't going to want to hear. People are not going to want to hear this. Here's the one thing that people aren't going to want to hear in this whole bullpen equation.
Did you see that tweet? I don't know about that, about those three guys that are here, and then here comes a couple more weeks later, we might have these three, and people are going to go crazy for it. I think it was Mo. Didn't Mo wrote that one?
I haven't seen it yet, but we can talk about it like at lunch. I will say this. Here's the guy that's going to – everybody's freaking out about who – how can you argue? He's been good. Bud Norris.
Mm-hmm.
What's been wrong with Bud Norris? And let me ask you a question. What was wrong with Bud Norris till he hurt his knee last year? Nothing.
He did good. He pitched good. I mean, I wasn't on board either
until I saw 97.
Well, that makes – that makes anybody change their
97
mind.
Plays.
Hey, 97, and he can pitch.
He can pitch, and he has the cojones to pitch,
That's the thing. A guy that can rear back and give you 97 because he's only asked to pitch an inning and can pitch, those are the guys that reinvent themselves in the bullpen guys.
And done it as a closer.
Yeah.
He's
and
done
two
it.
He's off? Did I miss something yesterday?
His velocity's down.
I thought I saw him in 96 the other day. Did I?
No, I don't think he reached that.
91, 92s.
Really?
Again, this is what I'm seeing. Don't hold me to that. But I can tell you, it's no different than Wainwright. He's got to throw 91, 92. If he's 88, he's in trouble. Tui, when you're a guy that's hot, see, it's like anything. It's like if Mark McGwire all of a sudden couldn't hit home runs. What good is he if he's slapping balls all over the place? Unless he's really, really good at it. He's not good. He's not of use to you anymore.
He's not at 330.
So guess what? If Tui can't throw 95 and 96 anymore, he better be really good at 91. No different than Wainwright. Was Wainwright any good at 83 last year?
Nope.
All right. Well, we got a problem.
I think if Wainwright could give us five innings every outing, I would take it.
Especially if Carlos gives you 8 2/3.
I know, but what this does, Steve-O, the other guys cannot go five.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If Wainwright is the only one for us that give us five innings all year, and then you have Weaver going 6 and 7, you got Carlos going 6 and 7, and you have Waka going 6 and 7. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I'll take it.
Well, I can tell you, looking forward to tomorrow. I want to invite everybody to come out. Again, thanks to Patio's for having us. 11 o'clock tomorrow, Patio's. Benji, you will be with us from 11 to 11:30. Then you got to get back over to your Cardinal duties at 11:30. We're going to do Facebook Live tomorrow. Show up, meet Benji. Again, if you have your Molina book, bring it. He'll be happy to sign it while he's there. We will have the giveaways, the autographed items. You'll also be registered to win the green seats. So please show up, come see us. We should be up on the stage. We'll be ready to go. We're happy to meet you guys. Happy to have you be a part of the show. For everybody here at Two Birds on a Bat, we want to thank Patios one last time. We also want to thank InnovatedCompanies.com for their continued support. All three arms, all important to the organization, no different than a baseball team. You got the construction team, heating and cooling team, and, of course, the electric team. 35 years experience. He's a second-generation craftsman, and, again, more importantly, a man of his word. Get InnovatedCompanies.com involved in the process early. You will save time, energy, and money. Again, old school, but not old school enough not to realize that he needed his daughter around to keep him straight. So thank you so much to Randy for all he's done for the show. Thanks once again to Patty O's for everything they've done. Again, we're happy to be joining them for these homestands when Benji's in town, and to remind everybody that the show is always brought to you at the Patio Studios. So thank you. You know where to have your entertainment, whether it be before or after all the Cardinal home games. Again, Arlington Greens. Mark Marcuso was on the other day. Tremendous guy. He's a friend to everybody involved in the show. I can't thank him enough. Don't forget, they've got a lot of play open in the middle during the week around lunchtime. Lots of tournaments. Him and Mark Marcuso and his staff have done a tremendous job. I've been playing Arlington Greens my whole life. The course has never been in the shape that it is now. They've never had the improvements going on that they have now. Again, Mark takes it very seriously. I challenge everybody to get out there, see the course, see Mark. You won't have a better atmosphere. For all of my friends, I assure you, and for all the people that I know, that Arlington Greens is where it's at. So give them an opportunity. And again, special thanks to Arlington Greens for joining the show as well. Check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show there. Do your shopping through Amazon. Help us with our production costs. Doesn't cost you anything. More importantly, you can listen to back episodes if you'd like. Find us on social media. That's where it's at for us. On Twitter, you'll find us at Birds on a Bat. Like our Twitter page. If you're a Cardinal fan, we're going to follow you back. We want to know what you're thinking. Our big ask, though, go to Facebook, type in Two Birds on a Bat, find our Facebook page, like the page. You're not done. Click invite your friends. All your Cardinal fans that are friends, invite them to like the show. We'd greatly appreciate it. We'd like to get as many people involved in the conversation as possible. You can find our Facebook group, Birds on a Bat. All you got to do is ask to join. If you're a Cardinal fan, you're in. Instagram. Loving the Instagram thing as we get smarter with it. We want to thank Yachty and the M4 brand and everything that they do for sharing our stuff. Thank you so much. You know, your brother's a class act, Benji, for sure. Again, you can find us there, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Of course, cannot do the show without thinking lineupmedia.fm, the fastest growing podcast company on the planet, and now home of Yo Radio. Check it out. You'll enjoy it. One of the newest internet stations. Tremendous, and we're happy to be a part of it. Behind the scenes, Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, do so much for my show. I can't leave without a special shout-out. We could not have even done the show today if not for friend of the show, Darren Yates, stepping in. The guys are all out of town, and he said, you know what, I know you guys got to do something with opening day. He jumped in. You know, we're going to say thank you to this guy with a nice lunch here and tell him thank you so much for doing the show. Thank you, Darren. We really appreciate it. For Benji Molina, who's brought to you every week by the M4byYachty.com brand. Thank you to them as well. For Steve Flowers, I'm your host, Jim Cromer. Let's go Birds!
Go Birds!
Go Birds!